Blog Talk Radio.
That we appreciate that the Most High
has desired to dwell in us, and that we await our permanent tabernacle upon his return. So happy 8th day feast to everyone. I want to greet all those that are in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and pray that Yah has blessed each and every one of you. In just a second. All right. We will start off with our statement of faith, and then we're going to talk a wee bit about, you know, us waiting for this tabernacle that we are supposed to receive from the Most High, from heaven. And then we want to go into the word of the Most High for the newcomers class, the word of Yah on this day. All right, that being said, let me have the sisters to cover your head. Have the sisters to cover your heads, men uncover your heads, and let us turn toward the east, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We just magnify and glorify you, Father, and lift you up. We thank you, Father, for your manifold blessings, for your mercy, and for your grace. We thank you for your redemption that you have set forth for your people, Father. We thank you for putting us in our right mind and giving us a mind to serve you, Father, to serve you and to serve you only. Father, we just love you today. We love you. We love you. We love you. And we know that you love us. So thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father, we thank you for your Feast of Tabernacles, for having us to remember how you brought us through the wilderness and you caused us to dwell in booths. And that this day is coming again someday in the future, Father, that you will take us back into the wilderness in booths. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be your residence, for allowing us to be the place that you desire to dwell, Father, that we might be made living tabernacles for you and for the world. Father, we do groan and we do wait for the day of your return, when you shall give us a new body, that you may dwell in it also with us forever, and that we shall be your people and you will be our Elohim. Father, we just want to thank you for having the foresight to save your creation, all as such as you should call. Father, we pray that we are amongst the number Now, Father, as we go for tonight and we learn about your word, Father, we ask that you would be in the lesson, that it would be you that we hear from and not Brother Miles. These things I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. And let us sound the shofar, for this is a Sabbath. Chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For we know that for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be clothed, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now we that have he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is Elohim, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The book of Revelations, chapter 20. The book of Revelations, chapter 20. Verses 14 and 15, the book of Revelations, chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelations chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come here, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Elohim, having the glory of Elohim, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. And the length of the breadth of the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for Yah Elohim Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of Elohim did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all day by day, shut at all by day, for there shall be no light, there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. So we do wait for to receive our body and to enter into his kingdom and to see the new Jerusalem descend All of these things are going to be happening in this eighth day. And the Most High will take over rulership in his true form. And we shall see him as he is. Because right now we can't look upon him in his natural form. But he converts us and gives us a new body that his spirit also dwells in with our spirit. And we shall see him as he is, according to the scriptures. Let us, and give me a second here. Descends from the heavens, and we are counted amongst the number in the presence of the Most High, when He shall wipe away all tears. That day, we know, is at least 1,000 years off, because we got to go through the reign of Messiah first. But I pray that we are counted in the number, and that Yah blesses us to do this. I sent out earlier, for those of you who are able to receive it, the study guides for the last two lessons, the baptism and the Spirit of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, for the newcomers. We are starting the Word of Yah, lesson number 4 on this evening, for the newcomers class. And so we want to look at and examine the Word of the Most High so that we are able to teach others just what, number one, what the Scriptures say of themselves, and that men might believe in it. Because I am convinced that we have a lot of people who are Old Testament only. We got a lot of people who are New Testament only. And then it seems that if they are in that position, whether they're Old Testament only or New Testament only, they are offended at the other book, whether it's the Torah or whether it's the New Testament. Find some way to be offended. Nevertheless, we are to abide by the entire book. So let us start the lesson on the Word of Yah. Yah's will for man has come to us today, particularly through His written word, or the Scripture. And according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by Yah. The Bible, which contains Scripture, is no ordinary book. And anybody who has ever read the Bible, anybody who's ever studied it, knows that it's no ordinary book. No man on his own could have written this. Okay? Its own witness is that it's inspired of Yah. Countless millions can also witness to its inspiration because they have found life through His word. Through the enabling of the Spirit of Yah, Yah Himself has been revealed to them, and they can personally testify to His goodness. It is therefore a must that we read and study our Bibles, making it a good lifelong habit. You know, when I was young and when the Most High, when I first started reading the Bible, I was actually reading it to disprove it. But the more I read the Bible, I more found that it proved itself. And not only did it prove itself, but I found that I couldn't put it down. You know, when you think about everything that the Bible speaks about, the creation and the miracles that the Most High has done, like stopping stopping the Earth in the middle of its orbit. I mean, when we have, you know, a little bit of science background, when the Most High makes a claim about doing something, and you consider, what did he have to do to make that happen? I mean, seriously, what did he have to do to make that happen? Like, make the sun stand still. Extend the day out. That means that he had to stop the Earth in its orbit. Then he had to stop, not only stop it in its orbit, he had to stop it from spinning and keep everything still on the planet, because the spinning is what makes us stick to the planet, which makes gravity so that, you know, we don't float off into space. So when he says that he does something, and then you consider the matter, what all did he have to do? What exactly did he have to do to make that happen? It just amazed me, you know, and that there was a being that claimed that he did this. And then for science to say, oh, you know, we find that there's some missing time. We, you know, if we go back and we run computer simulations and yada, 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 the Earth should be here in its rotation, in its space around the sun, but it's here. And so, you know, it just found that the scriptures just proved themselves, and the word of Yah just proved himself. And then when he introduced himself to me and let me know that he was real, I was about 21. From that point on, you know, there's been no question or doubt in my mind whether this word is true or not. So we got to understand that he says that this word is inspired by him. When you look at all the different ways, you can read a scripture one day and come back 2 or 3 months later and read it again and get a different meaning out of it. And that, and you know, but it's not a different, it's not a contradiction in meaning. It is an added meaning to what you thought it meant. It's like, oh, I was needing mercy, and when I read this, it showed me how merciful the Most High is, but now I'm in need of love, and when I read the same verse, it showed me how loving he is. And so, you know, no man in a carnal mind could have written this book. There's no doubt in my mind. No man in a carnal mind could have written this book. No, you know, and on top of that, you don't find contradictions in the book. So if you are looking for a contradiction in the Bible, you can't find them. You can find some mistranslations, but you can't find contradiction in the things, in the precepts, in the lines. So it amazed me because, you know, I can tell a story to 3 to 10 people and then ask each one to tell me what they heard, and I will probably get 3 to 10 different stories. But then if you understand that there were, I think it's 72 men that translated this book from the Hebrew to the, from the Greek and the Hebrew into the English and other languages, and you can't find a contradiction, that's just impossible. And so it has to be inspired by the Most High. The Bible, which contains scripture, is, countless millions, I've already read that, let me continue. Through the enabling of the Spirit of Yah, Yah himself has been revealed to them, and they can personally testify to his goodness. It is therefore a must that we read our Bibles and make it a good lifelong habit. All scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of Yah may be adequately equipped for every good work. Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. And you can read that in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. The word of Yah will, one, help us to conform to the image of Christ. Two, it'll impart unto us spiritual guidance. And three, provide us with a guide for this life. Now, this word also tells us what the Most High, specifically what he expects of us, what he desires and expects of us. And so, yes, we use it as a guide, but we have to use, I think I'm going to change that wording. Because we need to use this for more than just a guide. Because if we just use it as a guide, we have a tendency to believe that we have a say in it. We have a tendency to believe that, that some of the things are suggestions. And so because it's just a guide, or people take it as just a guide, they may feel that they have the right to make certain decisions for themselves, which the Most High has already made. And I think that therein is the deception. Because it's more than just a guide for your life. So I know I'm going to change that wording. This truly is supposed to be the blueprint for your life. And a blueprint, you follow it to the letter. And so it's not just a guide. You don't just read it and say, the book says this in this situation. But then you may feel like you have the option to do it or not to do it. And you do have the option to do it or not to do it, unless you understand that you really don't have an option. If the Most High says to do something a certain way, then that's the way you ought to do it. And walk in it. That's why he says to walk in this word. So let us look at a few things. What is the word of Yah called in the Bible? What does the Bible call itself? Let's go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And Shalom, my sisters. Peace and blessings.
Shalom, brother.
Happy 8th day.
Shalom, Brother Miles, Sister Mary,
Shalom,
Sister Denise, family. Shalom. Shalom, family.
All right. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 8. And let's get verse 3. What does the Bible call itself? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, thank you.
Amen.
All right, thank you, my sister. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and in the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So the Bible calls itself, one of the names it calls itself is the book of the law. The book of Psalms, chapter 1. The book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 2. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Now, were you guys able to get this study guide?
Yes, I am.
All right,
yes,
amen.
It's in my Gmail. Mm-hmm.
All right, amen. Then I won't. Ask y'all to go to it. If you're reading the study guide, then these verses are in there.
Yes, sir.
But his delight is in the law of Yah. And in his law does he meditate day and night. So we have the book of the law, but then we're also told that it is the law of who? The Most High. The law of God. The law of Yah. So when we, and the reason that we're talking about these things is because we have to believe this. And that's where I think that a lot of people have fallen off that, oh, this is just a guide. But this is the law of the Most High. This is the book of his laws. his statutes and his commandments. The book of John, chapter 5. The book of John, chapter 5, and verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, in this book of John, this is Messiah talking. So the scriptures are telling us that, number one, they're called the scriptures. That's another word for them. The book of the law of Yah, the scriptures. Romans chapter 1, verse 2. The book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in his holy scriptures. Our affirmation that this book is called the holy scriptures. So we have the book of the law. We have the law of Yah, the law of God. We have the scriptures, the holy scriptures that the Bible calls itself. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 16. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, Yeshua, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So the word, the Bible also calls itself what? And is referenced as the word of life. The book that we should learn how to receive life and how to live it and how to not choose death. What did Yeshua call the word of Yah? Go to John chapter 10. The book of John chapter 10 verse 35. If he called them Elohim, unto whom the word of Yah came, and the scripture cannot be broken. So Messiah refers to the word of Yah as the word of Yah, the Bible as the word of Yah, and at that time it was only the Torah and the prophets. Didn't include the New Testament, but we know that the New Testament is included in it and that he had it written. Also, he also referred to it as the scripture, according to the English translation. How were the scriptures originally given to us? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture was given by the inspiration of the Most High. We are told through the Holy Ghost. And so we have one author. That's why we can't find a contradiction. We have one author and finisher of our faith. He keeps the theme, he keeps his word clear all the way through. That's why we can go from the old to the new. And we have to understand, without the old, we cannot have the new. And so a lot of people try to just read the new without the old. And, you know, think that they can come to truth, but they cannot. There is no way for you to understand certain scriptures in the New Testament without understanding the old and knowing what it is in the old and what is taught in the old to bring it into the new. You know, people think that, oh, everything was new. No, everything was not new. So when we're reading the covenant and what have you, we have to understand that he said that he would, in his new covenant, he would write his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, his judgments in our mind and in our hearts. And that there were certain changes. But all of the covenant is not covered in the New Testament. And so the only way that you can go back and find out what's included is to go back into the old. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of Yah spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh. It is by the Spirit of the Most High. And if a prophet is truly a prophet, then he's going to be speaking by the Spirit of the Most High. And he's not going to get his interpretation of his own mind, of his own will. And so the truth of the matter is, you cannot come to complete understanding. You can't come to truth without the Holy Ghost giving you the inspiration. And to have that, you got to have the Holy Ghost. So anybody can pick up a Bible. Anybody. I don't care what nation they're in. They can pick up a Bible and read it. But without being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, they cannot come to the proper understanding of it, because it is not written in order. Can't read it from front cover to back cover and think that that is the proper order that you would use the Scriptures to come up with a precept. You need the Ruach HaKodesh to actually interpret for you, to put line upon line and precept upon precept. You know, one of the things, and you can do this yourself, look up any denomination and what they believe. Okay? And you got all these different denominations out there that believe something a little bit different. And the reason for that is anybody can read the Scriptures and pull out what I'm going to call facts. You read a verse, yes, that verse says that. And that's a fact. But you can't just take that one verse and come up with a doctrine when the Scriptures usually have 3, 4, 5, and 6, 7 verses that deal with a particular subject. And the lessons that go along with it, what the Most High was trying to teach, what correction he was trying to bring. And so what I found is that you can have facts and not necessarily the truth.
Mm.
Why? Because the truth of the matter is, the truth is the facts arranged in the correct order. So if you got a bunch of facts and you start quoting these facts and you're just quoting them, you know, one behind the other or whatever, you quote them in order in the book. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have the truth. It's like you can have 5 people witness an accident. And what they are telling, what they saw, are the facts as they know them. But one person may get this particular fact out of order. You know, they didn't see the car swerve first. Which caused the other car to hit it. They saw the car hit it. That's what they reported. But they didn't report that the other car swerved first. So they have the facts, but if they don't have them all and they don't have them in order, then they don't come up with the truth. And so this is where most churches, most church, most camps, they have facts. Doesn't necessarily mean that they have truth. And the only way that you can come to that truth, the only way you can know how to put line upon line and precept upon precept is by the Ruach HaKodesh. You have to be moved by the Spirit of the Most High. He has to set it in order for you. He has to put it in the right context for you. He has to set the correct filter for you.
Mm.
And so that's why it's important that we understand in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, I had somebody say that. say that to me before. And they were telling me that I was using my own private interpretation because I didn't, you know, my understanding of the scriptures didn't agree with their quote-unquote congregation. I said, and do you think that because your congregation believes this, that that makes it true? Because you got, you know, you got a mass of people that agree on the same thing? I said, that is not, you know, that just means that you all read the scripture and you came to the same understanding, but it's based upon the facts, but maybe not based upon other scriptures that go along with it. Like I had somebody to tell me that the verse Christ died, came and made the one sacrifice. Christ came and made one sacrifice now and forever, you know, at that time, which they thought that it meant that, you know, it covered all their sins forever. I said, no, that's not what that verse means. When it said that he made one sacrifice now and forever, or then and forever, it meant that he was only going to do it once, forever. And everybody who comes to him gets to come to him and take advantage of this once. Doesn't cover your future sin. Doesn't cover all your sin forever. It covers your sin up until the point that you come to him and pass. It just means that I'm only going to die once. And this one time that I die, this sacrifice that I make, is this one time, and it's good forever for anybody that comes to me. But he clearly shows in the scriptures, number one, that he died for your sins that are past. Number two, if you willfully sin, then there ain't no more sacrifice for sin. So it didn't cover those sins. And so we read the verse and we try to make the verse say something that on its own, it might appear to be saying that. But when you put line upon line and precept upon precept, then you understand, oh, whoa, wait a minute. I'm only going to do this once, and this sacrifice is good forever. But that don't mean that it's good for all your sins forever. Just means that anybody that comes to him, when they first come to him, that sacrifice is good. It's still good to every new sinner that comes to him. Ain't no more sacrifice got to be made. But if you are continue to sin after you come to him, then there's verses that deal with that. But if you only go by that one verse, you will come away with that understanding that Christ died for my sins forever, which is not what he was saying. So it's important that we study the word and that we have the ruach to put the correct filter, the correct lens on the word so that we don't start saying something that the Most High is not saying. How does the Bible describe the word of Yah? Let's go to Psalms chapter 19 and verse 8. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 8. The statutes of Yah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yah are pure, enlightening the eyes. So Psalms in the Bible describes itself, the word of Yah, as being right and pure. That means that for us to come to an understanding, then we have to also be right and pure. We have to be seeking out the Most High from a pure heart. We got to be seeking Him out with a righteous heart and a righteous mind. Psalms chapter 117. Psalms chapter 117 and 2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of Yah endureth forever. Praise ye Yah. The truth of Yah, his word, endures forever.
Mm-hmm.
It don't change with the times. And see, I think that's one of the issues that people are having today, because 2,000 years later, mankind is, you know, still up under self-governance, still thinking that he knows best for himself, and thinks that the word of Yah no longer is applicable, that his word is no longer true, it no longer applies, and we know better. And that is, that's just a falsehood. The truth of the matter is, his word endured, and the truth of his word endures forever. It don't change. And he wrote it that way.
Amen.
And why is that? Because it's his word, it's his world, it's his creation. And the creation might change, the creation might evolve or devolve, but the word of the Creator don't change. The truth of the Creator don't change. So we might think, as I said, we're reading the covenant, and the Most High said, this is my judgment concerning a thing, and we'll say, today, you know, we do it like this. But Most High says, if you say you belong to me, this is my judgment. So are you going to put your righteousness over mine? Are you going to say that you know better than I do? Now, it didn't take 2,000 years to get here, because clearly our forefathers were doing it 2,000 years ago. But the truth of the matter is, nothing has changed but the date. And we think that, you know, what we're going through and experiencing is something new. It's not. So it still applies to us as well. And when we understand it, when we understand exactly what he's saying and what he wants and what he demands, we understand that we don't have a say in those matters. We have to go by his judgments. So his truth endures forever. Psalms 111, verse 7 and 8. The works of his hands are verity, I think that's how it's pronounced, verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. See, this is something that we as people have to come back to it. And, you know, we will read in the scripture and we will try to adjust as we can to the word, but the truth of the matter is, we have to eat the word and we have to become the word. We have to do it exactly the way he said it. Because why? All his commandments are what? Sure. That means that they are solid. And they stand forever and ever. And are done in truth and uprightness. See, when we start thinking that we know better, when we think that, you know, times have changed, so, you know, these ways are antiquated, and the word of the Most High is antiquated, and, you know, science has learned that this behavior is caused by this and what have you, you think the Most High didn't already know that? And so, yeah, we would have some, I still know, we got some problems. Because it's hard to put some things away. Especially if you have a spouse them and say, yeah, that's good. That's a good way to be. Until you find out that you are what? Contrary to the Most High. Now we got conflict. And so today we will say a lot of things are called by what? Caused by what? Mental illness. And what have you. But are we truly following the Most High? Are we truly listening to his voice? Are we truly obeying his voice? Are we sure that his commandments are sure? Are we sure that they stand fast? And you're going to stand fast forever and ever, no matter what man goes through, no matter what man thinks he thinks and believes is right. If it's contrary to the word of Yah, then we got a problem. Let's go to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119, we're going to get verse 142, and then 151, and then 160. Psalms 119, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Anything that's contrary to his law, then must be a lie. If his law is truth, anything that's contrary to his law is a lie. It's deception. It's opinion. It's placing our opinion over his. Psalms 119, verse 151. Thou art near, O Yah, and all thy commandments are truth. Mm. Psalms 119 and 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Do we see that? The thing is, do we believe that? Because it's his word. And this is what he accuses our forefathers. You know, it's amazing. It just amazes me that how people say that they follow the Most High. And, you know, I'm included in this. Because trust me, I see the error of my ways concerning this thing. When his word says to be a certain way, we want to update his word. Oh no, Most High, we know about these things today. The Most High says that his word was true from the beginning. And every one of his righteous judgments endures forever. That means that the truth of it, no matter what you think you know, what you think you believe, it's not going to change. You say that to the average person today, they're going to say you're a heretic. They're going to say, oh, wait a minute, you believe in that outdated stuff? But if this is your Elohim, then his word has to be true for you forever.
Man.
And you can't interject your own understanding, your own, you know, you can't interject the laws of man and the opinions of men into it. And I think it's going to be a hard lesson for a lot of people to learn. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Elohim shall stand forever.
Yeah.
So whatever he has had written, whatever he has said, do you accept that this word is true?
Yes.
Do you accept that all of his word is true? And that is never going to, it don't fade away. That's going to stand forever. You see, that is what man has done. Started with Israel. But the world itself. Isaiah 55. The book of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The word of Yah, he says, it that goes forth out of his mouth. This is not an individual, okay? Because a lot of the times when we read in the New Testament, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. We automatically equate that to Messiah and then make his pre-existence But when you have to understand that the Most High spoke and prophesied about Messiah, and that spoken word was with him in the beginning. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So the word of Yah is going to come true. If the Most High spoke it, number one, within that spoken word is the action that the word is supposed to take. Number two, the time that the word is supposed to take, that action. Number three, the fulfillment of the word of the Most High. It's going to accomplish whatever he said in the correct time, in the correct place, with the correct person. And we have to know that. And we have to believe that. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of Yah is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intent of the heart. So think about it. This is what the word of Yah does. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than any scaffold. It's able to divide or to separate the soul, the body, from the spirit, and to separate the joints from the marrow. And on a mental note, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. So the word of Yah is able to tell and to discern and to reveal what is the intent of your thoughts. What is the intent of your heart? It is able to separate the spirit from the soul. That's why he says, don't fear those that can destroy the soul, the body. Fear those that can fear him that can destroy the spirit. Because that's who you are. You are a spiritual being infused in that body. And the Most High says, I can separate your spirit from that body. And I'm able to destroy your spirit, which is you. He says, but what I'm going to do is, I'm going to make your spirit and your body eternal. And then if you are contrary to me, then I have prepared a special place for you. If you are with me, you're going to live in peace and bliss, and you're not going to have no worries. But if you have been disobedient and remain disobedient, and never come into the knowledge of the truth, and never repent, never truly repent and turn away, then he says, I got a place for you. And I prepared it especially. I prepared it for the devil and his angels. But if you want to be like him, I'm going to throw you in there too. So we got to understand that his word alone can discern these things. And all he has to do is speak it. And when it's time, his word will activate. If he says judgment, and within that word judgment is all righteous judgment. And since he can discern your thoughts, he can say, oh, no, your intent was not really to do right. Or no, yeah, you know, your heart is right before me. His word can do that. And so we need to understand that the word of the Most High is an active agent. It's an active force within itself. List some of the benefits of Yah's word. Let's go to Psalms chapter 107. The book of Psalms, chapter 107. And we're going to get verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. His word healed them. It's healing. And it's deliverance. And it's going to deliver you out of your situation or deliver you from what? Your own destruction. Your own destruction. Deliver you from somebody else destroying you. Psalm 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 130. Psalm 119 and 130. The entrance of thy words give light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Most High loves to confound the wise, those who think that they're smart, those who think that they can read his word and understand him on their own. Those that don't seek after his spirit and think that of their own wisdom that they can come to knowledge and truth. He loves those kinds. But the entrance of his word giveth light, and it gives understanding unto the simple. The hosts are of a simple and a contrite heart who count on the Most High, who believe his word at face value. Who just believe the Most High. Because see, a simple person will simply believe the word of Yah and whatever it says. And if they're studying, then he will give them revelation. He will give them insight. He will set line upon line. John chapter 8. The book of John chapter 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth. His word is truth, and the truth shall make you free. All you got to do is believe it. That's all we got to do is believe it. Walk in it. Accept it at face value. You know, because we'll read some things and then it's not quite what we personally believe, and then we're trying to justify it. We're trying to make it work out to how we want it to work. John chapter 20. The book of John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Yeshua HaMashiach is the Christ, the Son of Yah, and that believing you might have life through his name. So the scripture brings us life. Scripture brings us truth. The scripture brings us understanding. All in relationship to the Most High Elohim. All in relationship to our Elohim. Want to know about him? Got to read the scriptures. Got to believe what they say. Got to be simple-minded about it. The book of Romans, chapter 17, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. Faith comes by the word of Yah, hearing the word of the Most High. Faith in him, faith in his salvation, faith in how the world's going to end up, faith in what's going to happen to believers, faith in what's going to happen to unbelievers. Comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of the Most High. Second Timothy, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Yeshua HaMashiach. All scripture is given by the inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yah may be perfect, through furnishing unto and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, from a child. Now, can't say this actually applied to me, even though there was an element of spirituality, an element of, you know, we weren't made to go to church, we just went, but not all the time. And we weren't always, I wasn't always wise that the scriptures would bring me unto salvation. But yeah. So once I start reading the scriptures, then, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Yah. I tried to disprove it. It's proved otherwise. So it is profitable for doctrine. For reproof. Let's do something for a minute. I want to get a definition for a word. Give me 1 second. The definition for doctrine. Doctrine, a belief or a set of beliefs held and taught by a church, political party, or other group. So, all scripture is good for a belief or a set of beliefs. We believe everything that the Word of Yah says concerning salvation, concerning redemption, concerning life, concerning our standards of living, concerning everything. We can believe it. We can establish a belief or beliefs based upon the scriptures. And truth of the matter is, not that we can, we have to. So when the Most High says, these things are acceptable, then the scriptures are profitable for that. When the scripture says, this is the way you should live your life, then the scriptures are profitable to establish those beliefs that this is how we should live our life. Doctrine, for reproof. What's a good definition for this word reproof? Let's look it up. An expression of blame or disapproval. In other words, correct, to establish what is right and what is wrong. For correction. We should be able to use the word of the Most High to correct one another in our behavior. If it doesn't line up with his word, then we should better use the scriptures to correct one another. For instruction in righteousness. It is Yah that establishes what is right and what is wrong. And it's given to us for our perfecting. Perfecting according to who? According to the Most High. And if we use the precepts, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, then we have been thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's when we try to go on our own. It's when we try to, interject ourselves into the scriptures when we think that we know better than the Most High that we get in trouble. Titus chapter 1. The book of Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince gainsayers. So when we are well studied in the scriptures, then, and we hold fast, because see, we have to understand when we're being taught truth, and we have to understand when we're being taught opinion. And we have to understand when it's the Most High talking. Because then if it's the Most High, then you are going to be in sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be able to encourage people and to convince gainsayers. The gainsayers are those people who come against sound doctrine. They got opinion. They got a carnal understanding. Oh, you don't need to do all that. Oh, you don't need to be baptized. You don't need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't need to obey all the commandments of the Most High. The times have changed. Oh, that verse don't really mean that right there. You're coming against sound doctrine. Because they don't necessarily agree with them. And by the scriptures, if we have understanding, then we should be able to convince the gainsayers. You know, I know a lot of people behind my back, they'll say whatever. But I've been in too many debates that one-on-one, when we go in this word, if their doctrine is contrary to the scripture, it's not me that does, it's the Ruach HaKodesh that will set them in their place. And they can either choose to accept it at that point or not. So, you know, a lot of times we have people that will use scripture to manipulate people. They will use scripture to enforce their will on people, but it's not sound doctrine. And so we just have to understand that the Most High will give us, if we're faithful to the word and we hold fast to it, that we may be able by sound doctrine, both to encourage and then to convince those people who are gainsayers. Now, I don't try to make it my job to convince people that much anymore, because most of the time people who want to argue the scripture, they got an opinion and they just want to be heard. And no matter what, no matter how much scripture you come up to disprove them, they're not going to change their ways. Because they're not in it to change. They're not in it to be edified or to be exhorted. They're in it to prove their position. And you will hear me say over and over and over again, I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right. So I don't really get into those types of debates anymore. Used to, but find that I do it less and less. The book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1 and verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are begat by the word, just like we are begat by the spirit. And you got to first get the word, you got to first hear the word. And you got to let it into your heart before you can even hear or receive Elohim. Because his word tells you about him. So we want to be the first fruits of his creatures. This is a new thing. Because as we read before, when the Most High said that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, he hasn't always done that. That's why he announced, I'm going to do that. And those that receive his spirit, they become the first fruits of his creatures, a new creation. This is a creature that hasn't, it's been on the earth, but not in mass. Started off with Melchizedek. Then it was the prophets. And then when Israel demanded to have a king, then it was the king as well. As long as he was in the will of the Most High. And then the Most High says, I'm going to do a new work. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That doesn't mean that he poured it out on every single man or woman that lived. But he made it available to everyone that should hear of Messiah and come to him. He made it available. So it's not an automatic thing. But now, every man, woman, and child, when they hear about the gospel and when they hear about salvation, they are able to receive the Spirit of the Most High if they are willing to ask him for it, his Spirit. Because see, and even for you to even ask him means you have to what? Believe that he is. Why are you going to ask a being that you don't believe exists for his spirit? You wouldn't do it. What should our attitude or response be to the word of Yah? Let's go to Psalms 119 again. Let's get verses 161 and 162. What should our attitude be? Or our response be to the word of Yah? Psalms chapter 119, verses 161 and 162. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe at thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. So what should our attitude be? We should be in awe of his word. Like I said, when I start reading the stories of how he stopped, you know, caused the sun to stand still, how he split the Red Sea, all his miracles that he mentions, and when you consider, how did you do that? What would have to happen, according to natural science, for that to happen? And be in awe of his word. Be in awe of his word as how it describes what our mentality should be. And then we should rejoice at his word. Why? Because of what it's showing and teaching us. And then we should value it as something very precious. That's why he says, when we find the kingdom, which is through his word, that we should value it as the most precious thing we have ever found. And that if we could, that we would sell everything we had to buy it, to obtain it. So he's saying we should have, it should be very precious to us. It should have great value to us. Go to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And let's get verses 2 and 5. Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things has my hand made, and all those things has been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembles at my word. The word of Yah should make you tremble. You should have an understanding that the word of Yah is no joke. That we should fear transgressing, breaking it. You know, it on this covenant thing that, you know, we're still in, and this, you know, breaking covenant. And I don't even remember where I was at. Like I was in a daydream or something, a daze. And I'm thinking about the old covenant, and I'm thinking about the new, and I'm thinking about how do you get this through to somebody who wants to look at it from the New Testament only. And believe that they enter into a covenant, but they don't even know what covenant they entered into. But believe that, you know, they can just sin and break the covenant, and it's okay. You know, I can, you know, the verse, he is true and just to forgive us if we confess our sins, and think that it's okay, and it's just a way of life. We ain't got to keep all the covenant. And I'm like, so you enter into an agreement that you don't have to keep. I said, does that make any sense? And it doesn't make sense to me that you would enter into an agreement that if you break the agreement, it's okay, all you got to do is confess, and he is true and just to forgive you. You're breaking up the agreement. But that's not what he's saying. And so I know it goes back to our, you know, doing it in ignorance. Because if that was the case, then he wouldn't say, if you willfully do it, there's no more blood. But how do you know, you get people, it's like people will read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and just ignore it. It's like it's not even there. And so, you know, I was asking Mosiah, I said, how do I have to teach this such that, you know, how does it have to be worded such that they understand that you're not saying these things that they seem to think that you're saying? I think it's going to go back to, I can't make them see what he don't want them to see. There's a reason that they see it that way. And I know that the scriptures are designed to reveal what's in your heart. It's just like, if you tell me, you know, my wife tells me, these are the things that make me happy. And these are the things that make me unhappy. And then I either disregard what she says, or I don't care about what she says, or I don't understand what she says. Either way it goes, I'm either doing those things that make her unhappy or doing those things that make her happy. If she says that XYZ makes me happy and I want to make her happy, then I'm going to do XYZ. If she says W or STUV makes me unhappy, then I'm going to not try to do those things that make her unhappy. Because I want a happy relationship. But at the same time, when it comes to the Most High said, these are my statutes, my judgments, and my commandments. And it's not just about just making them happy, because these are requirements, and we think that we can just not do them. So it's like, to me, it shows what's in your heart. Is it in your heart to make the Most High happy, to be pleasing to him, or is it in your heart to want to do the things that you want to do? And if you find out that you're doing something that's contrary to him, but that's what you want to do, do you justify yourself in doing it? Anyway, I digress. Isaiah 66 and 5. As you can see, I'm consumed with this covenant. It really does have me consumed, for real. Isaiah 66 and 5. Hear the word of Yah, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let Yah be glorified, for he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Because see, I know that people are having a hard time just reviewing this covenant. Mm. And they're not trembling at his word. Matter of fact, they're becoming offended at his word. And, you know, I'm like, okay. They will start to hate you if you keep it in their face. I ain't believing all that. We got the New Testament. Okay, but this ain't going away. They cast you out for my name's sake. But he said, let Yah be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy. If you are doing his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, do you think he's going to appear to their joy or yours?
Yours.
And they shall be ashamed. Because they're not really trying to keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. They're trying to do what's comfortable for them. And some of his statutes, his laws, and commandments ain't comfortable. Some of the things we've been doing forever and a day, we didn't think it was sin, and then when we find out it's sin, we don't want to let it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have to tremble at his word, and we have to obey completely. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 28. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23 and verse 28. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith Yah? The prophet that has a dream, let him tell the dream. If Yah has given him a dream, let him tell it. But he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. We don't have to add to or take away from it. Trust me, that his word has everything in it and the way that he meant it. But we need to be faithful to it. We need to say, what thus saith Yah Elohim? The book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 29 and 31. The book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Yah, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word. When we are in the word of the Most High, and we are speaking the word of the Most High faithfully, and we are not speaking from another spirit, but speaking from the Ruach HaKodesh, we're supposed to speak it with boldness. See, I find that even with myself, sometimes I read something and then I find myself in my mind becoming apologetic for the Most High. Ain't that stupid? Ain't that crazy? Like, I should have a need to apologize for anything that the Most High has said. But because of the people, you know, I'm looking at, how do I say this to them? What, how am I supposed to say it? With boldness. If they got a problem with it, they got a problem with it, not me. And when you're speaking to people the word of the Most High, you should speak it with what? Boldness.
Boldness.
Don't worry about whether you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. If it's the word of Yah and it's straight up the word of Yah, then you got to be bold with it. He don't need us to apologize for him. He don't need us being apologetic. He don't need us trying to convince people that the Most High knows what he's talking about. We are to speak it with boldness. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, and they spake the word of Yah with boldness. So we don't have to be apologetic for the Most High. We don't have to try to convince people that his word is true, that is right, that is faithful, even in today's time. Even in today's time. You either believe the word of Yah, and you believe Yah himself, and you're going to speak his word with boldness, or you need to keep your mouth shut. So as I said, I find myself, you know, with certain topics, having to correct myself. Sometimes afraid that, you know, I'm going to offend people. But the truth of the matter is, as long as it's the word of the Most High, I ain't got to be worried about whether I'm offending you. If it offends you, then it's supposed to offend you. If it encourages you, then it's supposed to encourage you.
Yes.
If it condemns you, then it's supposed to condemn you.
Yes.
I just need to speak his word.
Mm-hmm.
So let us understand that we are to speak his word with what? Boldness.
Boldness.
Just make sure that you speak in his word. Acts chapter 8, verse 25. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of Yah, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So, we're to preach the word, and the word is supposed to be what? Good news. That's what our attitude about it is supposed to be. That is good news. See, if you are teaching something that condemns people, they don't think it's good news. But it's condemning them because they are what? In a bad place. They are contrary to the word. And they are looking at you as you are the bearer of bad news, as though it's your words that you're speaking. But this is good news because it should help you to straighten out. It should help you to correct your behavior. It should help you to choose life and not death. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Acts 13 and 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of Yah. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So we should glorify the word of Yah. That should be one of our reactions to it, to glorify it. To understand that the word came to give us a chance that we might receive eternal life. And to those who truly believe, you will be ordained to eternal life. because you will do what the word says to do. You'll walk in it. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So one of our reactions should be that we receive the word of Yah with all readiness of mind. I mean, our mind has to be open to it. And then we need to do what? Search the scriptures daily. Most I said, prove me. He don't mind us proving him. He don't mind us searching him out and seeing if those things that are written are so. He don't mind that, because it should just make your faith increase. Everything that you research and find out to be true should just increase your faith. Should give you more understanding and increase your faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto Yah, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it means to correctly interpret, to put line upon line, precept upon precept, to understand the truth of what the word is trying to teach us, what the Most High is saying to us through his word, what this particular lesson is meant to show, the direction it's supposed to point you in, the steps that it's ordering you to take. It's rightly dividing the word. And so, you know, we can be dividing the word in all kind of ways, in all kind of manners. You know, whether it's about salvation. What is he really saying about how do I get saved? What is he really saying about baptism? What is he really saying about the Ruach HaKodesh? What is he really saying about Israel? Am I rightly discerning the word? Am I discerning it with trembling, afraid to get it wrong? Am I so concerned that I have an opinion about what the word says that I'm not really concerned whether I got it right or not? I'm going to assume that my understanding is right. But when you teach this word, when you teach it unto others, then you got to do that with some trembling, because you don't want to teach others wrong and have their blood on your hands. We all end up in the lake because I taught you wrong. That is my biggest fear. Don't want that to ever be. So we have to work at and go before the Most High and ask for his spirit and his discernment. Tell me what this verse means. Where does it line up at? Rightly dividing the word. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. What is Messiah saying there? If you hear my words and my saying, and you do them, then are you a wise man. And then is your foundation built upon a what? Solid rock. Not on sand. Not on something that the foundation, as soon as trouble comes, as soon as shaking comes, the house falls.
Yes.
You can rest assured that what you are saying and what you believe in is going to stand. Because you're saying and believing what he said. And because you believe what he says, you're wise. Because a lot of people don't believe what he says. A lot of people don't even hear or understand what he says. That's why when he came to the masses, he said, I didn't make it this, I speak to them in parables so that they don't understand. Why would he do that? Maybe that should be homework. Why would Messiah speak in parables so that the people would not understand? You got to ask yourself, why?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll let you guys research that. James chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his own natural face in the glass. In other words, you read this word, you hear what it's saying to do, but you don't do it, then you are not wise. And that's what the natural man will do. The carnal man don't understand it and won't do it. Carnal man will keep trying to figure out their own way. Keep trying to do those things that's going to fulfill the desire of their hearts. But if you are a doer of the word, it's going to transform you. It's going to change you. Let's stop here for this evening. See how far we get. Yeah, we're about halfway through, three quarters of the way through. We'll stop here. We're at the top of the hour. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word in all its manifestations, written and spoken, preached and taught. That comes from you, O Father, and that brings us to truth. That gives us what we need to live righteous and holy and perfect lives. Father, we want to be doers of your word. Not just hearers, but doers. Because it's in the doing that faith is grown. It's in the doing that understanding comes. It's in the doing of it that righteousness is established. It's in the doing of it that reveals what's in our hearts. If we are doers of your word, Father, then we show that your word is in us and that we believe it. And when we are hearers only, then we do what we feel is wise. So, Father, help each and every one of us to be not only hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word. That we might be wise. That we might see our spirit man. That we might see the man, the person that you have truly called us to be. That we might be faithful to you, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. On next Tuesday, we will finish up the Word of Yah, finish up this lesson. And then the lesson coming after that, because I don't think this will take the full time next week. It may, but I don't think it will. We have to be doers of His Word. We have to be tremble at His Word. We have to consider His Word to be the most precious thing that we've ever gotten, that we've ever received. So the lesson coming up after this one is prayer and worship and fasting.
Amen.
In the newcomers. We will probably start that. Depends upon how, you know, how fast we go next week or how far we get. But we may start in that one next week, prayer and worship and fasting. As part of our service to the Most High. But as far as His Word goes, we have to believe that it is true and that it is for everything. You know, for us to establish our beliefs, for us to be inspired by, for us to walk in and to do everything that it says. With that being said, may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And let me stop there. On Thursday, we will continue with the land, the discussion on the land. I should have some more answers as part of the business meeting. So I should have some more answers on some questions that we ask. You know, what is the acceptable use of the land and those types of things. So I want to have all those, you know, all those, the answers to those questions. I've gone out to the people who are selling the land, who are, you know, controlling that aspect of it, and ask them for a list of things that the land can and cannot be used for. I asked if there was a list, they said yes, and they were supposed to fax it to me or email it to me. So that I'll know what we can and cannot do. I may have to look for another piece of land, depending upon what they say. Nevertheless, we'll see. But either way it goes, we are ready to move forward. So even if I have to shop out, you know, different land, we're still going to be moving forward because we just need to make that move and do it. All right, that being said, may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like Yah Elohim loves you. Shalom, family.
Shalom, Brother Mao.
Shalom, my sister. And where are my glasses at? I can't see a daggone thing.
Just a man. You always said, teach me. either way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, He lives forever. Sing His praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, His words are perfect, and His kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, He lives forever. Sing His praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, His words are perfect, and His kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.